It is so good to see everyone on this June 19th, 2022, and we're going to begin today in Genesis chapter 1. And I am not going to give you the title of the message, but I want you to understand I'm going to begin a series over the next several weeks that is so, I believe, impactful concerning the church, concerning Christians, concerning America, and concerning the culture. In light of all the events that are going on throughout the world right now. I will be recommending some things for you as parents and as grandparents, and whatever I recommend, I will ask that you would watch them or partake of these things before you allow your high school age young people to do so. You may want them to. But we're going to address some things. And I'm going to give you some verses, and then I'm going to say these verses that I just read to you have one commonality. And we'll see if you can see what that is. And let me pray first, and then I'm going to dive in. Father, as we come today, I ask for forgiveness, a daily sin, and a cleansing. Father, I feel as though I've been cleansed already. I want to thank you for the experience of true worship. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit is so willing to meet with us. I thank you that you are a good, good Father, and I thank you that I can only imagine. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that the truths of these lyrics and the power of your Spirit and the reaffirmation that takes place in the heart and the soul of a child of God who is simply saying, I love you, Jesus, and hearing you say, I love you back. And that is what we need. Father, forgive me and cleanse me by your blood. Anoint me with your Spirit and let your Holy Spirit take over. Speak to our hearts the things that we need to hear from you today. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. In verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And in verse 26, it said, God said, let us make man in our own image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. So God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, everything God created, everything of nature was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And in chapter 2, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. In Exodus chapter 19, the Word of God says this. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, it says, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp, and Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And in chapter 20, the word, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which has brought you out of the land of Egypt." Verse 3, "You shall have no other gods beside me." Verse 12, "Honor your father and mother." Verse 13, "Thou shalt not kill." Verse 14, "Do not commit adultery." "Thou shalt not steal." "Thou shalt not bear false witness." "Thou shalt not covet." Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, the scripture says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Go with me to the book of Isaiah. One commonality in all of these scriptures. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5. Says this: "I am the Lord, and there's none else. There's no God beside me. I girded thee, and thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil," or, "I have allowed evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. There is no other God beside me." Isaiah 42. Turn back to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 8 says this: "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to any other, neither my praise to any graven image or idol. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to any graven image." All these verses have a commonality. Go with me to the book of John in the New Testament, chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1 says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, the Word, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by Him, the Word. The same was in the beginning with God." And in verse 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 18, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, from the heart of God, He hath declared Him to us." And finally, Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, the scripture says this, Peter and John speaking. Peter speaking: "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him and by his power, this crippled man now stands before you, and he is whole and he is healed. And in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. All right. Brother Leo, you've lost your mind. What do these verses have in common? I want you to understand something. For today's sermon, I want you to understand. These verses that I have read have one commonality. And for the entire Bible, for this sermon, they represent the absolute divine truth of God. I want you to understand the building block of this culture, of any culture, is the divine truth of God. I want to make a few basic points. Number one, God is the source of truth. He is the creator of truth, the revealer of truth, the declarer of truth, and the truth of God is the only truth. You're going to hear a phrase in this sermon, my truth or your truth. You hear it all the time on television. But this is my truth. There's no such thing as my truth and your truth. There's only truth, and that comes from God. And I'll show you why you're incapable of having my truth or your truth, according to the Scripture. Truth is absolute. Point number two. It is absolute, it is unchangeable, and God's truth endures forever. It never changes. It is absolute, it is unchangeable, and God's truth endures forever. It never changes. Go to Psalm 117. Psalm 117 is just two verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Nations and people must have a foundation. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That stands forever. There's no evolution. There's a creation by God. In the beginning, God created them male and female. That's as binary as you can get. There is no middle ground. You're male or you're female. In the beginning, God had a husband and a wife and a family. It has not changed. The truth of God stands forever. And that is our foundation. Truth is absolute, it's unchangeable, and it endures forever. Now let me tell you what truth is not. Truth is not arbitrary. It is not relative. It is not fluid. And it's not changeable. Truth is not relative, it's not arbitrary, it's not fluid, and it's not changeable. There is no such thing as my truth or your truth. There's no such thing as David's truth and Emma's truth. There is no such thing as Jesse's truth and Betty's truth. And let me tell you why man in his fallen state is incapable of creating his own truth. Let me tell you why that is. Why fallen man cannot create his own truth. Go with me to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the scripture says this. The heart is deceitful above all things. My heart, Leo Doyle's heart, is deceitful in its fallen state. Even indwelt by the Holy Spirit, I am still, O wretched man that I am, Paul. I can deceive myself. I can be deceived by lies. My heart is not perfect. Not yet. I get raptured out, or if I die and leave behind the body of this death, as Paul says, I'll be set free. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it, fully understand it, and tame it? I, the Lord, search the heart and try your motives, and I will give to every man. Psalm 139 says he'll convict us, and then he will guide us unto the everlasting path he wants us to live. But I want you to understand, every human being in this room, no matter how spiritually mature, no matter how learned in the scriptures, no matter how consistent their quiet time and alone time is with Jesus, every human being, every saved human being, we are still carrying the proclivities of our carnality. Carnal desires, carnal thoughts. We are selfish, sometimes to the extreme, sometimes in a minimal way. The fallen man still wants to be on the throne, still wants. And that's why the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So I am absolutely incapable of telling you what my truth is. I can tell you what I feel or how I want to act. I can tell you, you've got to accept me in a certain way. But that doesn't make it truth. Let me show you another scripture. Go with me to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 4, the scripture says this: But God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. You don't respect my truth. You don't have any truth for me to respect. I don't want you to respect my truth. I don't have a my truth. I try to submit to God's truth. I want to follow God's truth. I need God's truth as a fallen individual. But God forbid. So what I want you to understand, in man's fallen state, he is incapable of creating truth or his own version of truth. You cannot fully trust your emotions, your feelings, at times your direction. You must get a word from God. You must be up in your relationship with Jesus and follow the proddings and the urgings of the Holy Spirit. So man is incapable of creating his own truth. I'm going to share with you a documentary in a few moments where a professor at UT Knoxville said, you know, I've got my truth and you've got your truth. And he was corrected on that and wanted to end the interview. I'll share that with you in a moment. Sociology professor, UT Knoxville, currently, which is everywhere. It's not just UT Knoxville. It's everywhere. They've done it. They've won. For the time being, they've won. But we don't quit. Because we owe him everything. And we owe his truth everything. Go with me to John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, I'm going to share with you a conversation Jesus had with the Pharisees. And I'm going to read these 2 points to you. The second point I've not given you yet, but I want to read them to you again and then we will proceed. In man's fallen state, he is incapable of creating truth or his own version of it. However, and this is wonderful, Cameron, even in our fallen state. However, God has given him the capability to understand and grasp and receive God's truth. We can't create our own, but God has given us the ability to understand and grasp and receive God's truth. Praise God. Truth that I'm lost and I need to be saved. Truth that works can't save me. Truth that Jesus died on the cross for me. Truth that God formed me in the womb and has a plan for my life. I can receive these things with a faithful certainty that is the foundation of my worldview and my life. So even though I cannot create my own truth, I can receive the truth, which is God's truth. So in John 8, verse 43, Jesus says this to the... Why do you not understand my speech? John 8, 43. Why do you not understand my words? Is it because you cannot hear me? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So I want you to know, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, when it comes to receiving His truth, your free will enters in. You have free will in Him and you have the ability, but you must make the choice to receive the truth of God or the choice to reject it. And I want you to understand, there is a percentage of the population, and I'm just going to limit it to America, that are this verse. They are of their father the devil, and they are under the strong influence of the Antichrist, and their entire lives and presentations are based on lies. So understand that. Parents, grandparents. The America I grew up in was nowhere as nearly deceitful as the one your children are growing up in, as things are being ramped up. So we have the ability to receive and grasp and understand God's truth and to grow in it. So go with me to John 18, and I will give you the title of today's message. Here we go, Tim. This is a new thing for me and you. First time, 10, 12 years, I don't know. John chapter 18, I want to ask a question. In verse 37, and Tim, our focal verse will be John 18, verse 38 for the title. In verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto Jesus, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say I'm a king. But to this end and this purpose was I born, and for this cause I came into the world." Speaking of dying for men's sins, "that I should bear witness unto the truth." He came into the world to bear witness unto the truth. And I thank my Jesus that I can carry on as His believer. I can bear witness of the truth. You can too. This entire population may be going to hell in a handbasket, this entire culture, but you can stand up with Joshua in Joshua chapter 24 and say, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Amen. And you can make a difference. And you must make a difference. You have no choice. He gave His life for you. "I came to bear witness in the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." I want to praise God. There's a segment of the population in America that does hear the voice of God. There are many on the internet, many on television, many that have ministries, many in business, some that are in the political arena, on the state and even the national government, that do hear the voice of God. And I praise God for these folks. Us included, as our voice goes out, we have the opportunity to stand and bear witness of the truth. But then in verse 38, Pilate asked humanity's question. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And so the title of today's message is, what is truth? And we'll develop it the next several weeks, but what is truth? It is humanity's question. Now, I want you to understand, you may not have to turn the page, but you may. In John 19, verse 4, Pilate states truth, and then he displays truth. In verse 4, he went before them and he says, I want you to know I find no fault in him. I want you to understand, truth says Jesus Christ never sinned. That's one of God's truths. Pilate, a pagan, confessed that. Tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. He never sinned. But then he says this. Verse 5. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. What is truth? Behold the man. Jesus Christ is truth personified. John 14, 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life of Jesus is truth. The teachings of Jesus is truth. The precepts of Jesus is truth. The love of Jesus is truth. The sacrifice of Jesus is truth. The resurrection of Jesus is truth. The desire that Christ has to have a personal Holy Spirit indwelling relationship with you is truth. And all the precepts and doctrines and history of the Word of God, they are truth. This is truth. We'll look at the personification of truth. We'll look at the precepts of truth in the weeks ahead. What is truth? In March of this year, Ketanji Brown Jackson, a nominee for the Supreme Court of the United States of America, was asked by our own representative, Ms. Marsha Blackburn, what should have been a giveaway question. I'm asking you today, what is truth? Ms. Blackburn asked Ms. Jackson, what is a woman? To which a Supreme Court nominee replied, I don't know. In the beginning, God created them male and female. I want you to understand the erosion of God's truth in America. And we'll look at it specifically. I don't know. Marsha Blackburn went on to say, what do you mean you don't know? What is a woman? Ms. Blackburn, I'm a judge. And all I do is, when a case comes before me, I look at both sides as it's, and I try to come to a decision of a just judgment when a case. This has nothing to do with you being a judge. I want to know personally. I want to know. I want you to answer the question: what is a woman? All right, now, I want to tell you what a woman is. I went, Jesse, and got the dictionary I used through grammar school, high school, and college. I didn't have computers. It was Webster's, copyright 1958, Webster's Dictionary. It was at my home in Charleston. And this is the definition. So you may want to start a grassroots movement to nominate me for the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Because I memorized, but I'll read it. A woman is an adult human being who is a female, and she possesses distinct female organs, ovaries, uterus, womb, etc. I'm smarter than one of our Supreme Court justices. That's frightening. That's frightening. I want to show you the Greek. Go to Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, verse 6, Jesus repeats what I read to you earlier out of Genesis. He was being asked about divorce and why Moses had to grant divorce. In the law, the Mosaic law originally, there was no divorce. However, a man could have his wife stoned if she was caught in adultery. But the wife could not testify. So God, in His wisdom, because of the crookedness of the Hebrew men at the time, had to allow a bill of divorcement because innocent women were getting stoned because these men wanted to get rid of the current wife and get a second one. And so Jesus is explaining why Moses wrote the law of divorce, to protect these innocent women, which should have been done. But notice, verse 6, he says this, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Let me give you the Greek for females, telazo, T-H-E-L-A-Z-O. T-H-E-L-A-Z-O. You know what that means? It means to possess the unique ability to give suckling. The root word is suckling. We have folks in here. I don't. Kathy must be with the young people. She raises dogs. We have folks that raise goats. You raise a litter of puppies. You have a litter of puppies born, sometimes 8, 10, 12. I always felt bad for that mama dog. She'd be laying there on her side, and all them little puppies, man, they'd be going to town. There are times our bird dogs would stand up. She'd stand up to walk off. One be hanging on. You know who that is? That's a mama dog. That's a female dog. Katanji. Female dog. Let me read you another one of God's truths here. Let me read it again. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And it was never God's desire or will or plan that a husband and wife get divorced. But when He brought them together, they were to remain together under the heading and the authority of God and the covering, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Threefold cord, the Holy Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit in Patty, and the covering of Jesus upon our marriage. And truth doesn't change. From the beginning, as it was then, it is now. God made them male and female. So, Brother Leo, what are you getting to? I've got two questions now. What is truth and what is a woman? I shared with some of our ladies in the gym and Coach Sis. When I was in Nashville last Sunday night, Patty and Daniel went to hear Dirks and some of those other folks. And I stayed back with Kylie. I was exhausted Sunday, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. You know, I want you to know, Tim, I'm weeping with you and I'm still weeping with you. Your whole family, Ben, Court. And Kylie had told me Wednesday when we got to Nashville, she goes, "You've got to see a documentary by Matt Walsh." Matt Walsh, Candace Owens, all these folks have moved to Nashville and we've got connections somewhat with them now. And the name of the documentary is "What is a Woman?" Based on what I just read to you from Marsha Blackburn. Matt Walsh is the father of four daughters. Lives in Nashville. And he traveled all over. He went from Nashville and they had a little arrow to New York, to Vancouver, to San Francisco, to LA, to London, and then he went to Nairobi in the shadows of Mount Kilimanjaro to a bush tribe. And he wanted the answer to one question: what is a woman? He went to a women's rights rally in New York. People carrying signs, fight for women, women's rights. And so he's got a bullhorn. He's going, "What is a woman?" He gets four girls, college age, to stand there. And he goes, "I want to ask y'all a question. What's a woman?" And they all start giggling. One woman takes her bullhorn and starts hollering, "Idiot, idiot, idiot, get away." He goes, "I'm at a woman's rights. Can't you people? I just want the answer. What's a woman?" So he ends up at UT Knoxville, and this was the apex for me. He talks to a sociology professor, and they sit down. And that's why "What is Truth" and "What is a Woman" is tied together in this sermon. Look at the documentary, "What is a Woman?" by Matt Walsh. And they're discussing it, and the sociology professor cannot give him an answer. And then the sociology professor, finally in exasperation, makes this statement. He goes, "Sir, it's a woman is whoever you want a woman to be. It's what your truth is about a woman. It's what my truth is about a woman. It's just whatever you want a woman to be." And Walsh said, "No." He says, "I want to know the truth." Very calmly. He said, "I want to know the truth." The professor in a huff says, "This interview's over." He goes, "The interview's over." He goes, "Why?" The professor says, "Because now you're using antagonistic terms." He goes, "What?" "Yes, you're using antagonistic terms, and I don't like the way this is going." And he goes, "Are you telling me the word truth is an antagonistic term?" And he goes, "In the context in which you're using it, it is." If you'll bear with me 10 minutes, I'm going to show you in the scriptures why truth, to a large segment of the population of America, has become an antagonistic term. That filled my mind. I'm going to begin this today. But if you've got a grandchild or a child, I want you to understand something. Even STEM. Have you heard of STEM? Science, technology, engineering, and math. Don't you think engineering could have been plugged in under science? What got left out? H. History. Don't teach history. Tear down the statues erase all that we have been taught about America. Why? Because you can't have a nation with a one world global empire. You got to destroy the nation. So K through 12 has got to be stamped. And why couldn't E have been English? Language arts? Reading comprehension? Writing composition? Expressing thoughts and free will? No, huh? It's science, it's technology, it's engineering and math. We're going to teach you formulas because all your children are going to be worker bees in this system. And the 200 elites in America, they're going to be the socialist Marxists under Soros that are going to run this thing. So we don't want the free thinkers that were brought up with Christian fundamental education like Leo Doyle. We want you all rote, R-O-T-E, plugged in so you can be the working class and you will listen to what we say and not be a free thinker. You're going to see the lies that are being taught to bring about the beast, the one world government. But before we even get there, and that's weeks down the road, let me show you why truth to this group of people is an antagonistic term. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Third question. Number one, what is truth? Number two, what is a woman? Number three, why is the truth, God's truth, antagonistic to a group of people in this country? Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says this. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who," and that word should be, "who withhold, seize upon, and suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness." Now, I want you to notice two words in that: ungodliness and unrighteousness. The American culture is under a two-pronged attack. It is the foundations being laid in K through 12, and it continues in the higher education, and it started way back when. There's debate on that. Ungodliness represents anything that is anti-God. You don't have to go far. Just turn to verse 28 of Romans 1. And there it is. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Anything that removes God, anything that's anti-God, is ungodliness. Anything against God. We had the National Day of Prayer. In the presidential proclamation, the word God was left out. First time in the history of the United States of America. One nation under God. You can say the pledge, but leave that out. The second word, look at what it says. "For therein is the righteousness of God, for the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness." The unrighteousness of men, what do you think that would be? That's pretty simple. The unrighteousness of men is immorality. It's immorality. Leave me, when I do something immoral, I do something unrighteous. It's evil. It is immoral. And if you go to verse 32, it gets taken to a level where it says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death." But they're not only doing all this unrighteousness, they take pride in others that do these unrighteous acts. So it's a glorification of immorality. What a month to preach this. We have a national prayer, and we have a whole month of homosexual pride in America. I still ask God to bless America, but I do ask America to repent. I do understand there needs to be repentance. Individually, nationally. Take pride in them. Now, go with me to verse 19 and let me show you what's happened. You got to understand who these people are. Somebody said the other day, it seems like everything that happens, it's another step to destroy America. It is another step to destroy America. America must be destroyed for a one world global government. A Democratic presidential nominee, and I'm not going to mention her name, in 2014, speaking to private Democratic donors, said that the future is a zonal America, Canada, U.S., Mexico. The plan is there and it's been there. Why don't they close our borders? They don't believe in borders. Why so many die of a man-made virus, COVID? Why are the baby formulas running out? They have got to decrease the population to control it. Brother Leo, I thought we were going to sing Happy Father's Day. You know, I hear commentators say, wait till November. I'm not sure November. Wait till tomorrow. Notice, verse 19. And this is critical. Now, if you've got somewhere to be on Father's Day, I understand. If y'all need to slip out, you go ahead and slip out. But I've got to have 10 more minutes to get this out and to get it out on the website. Because there are people listening today in other states that know this is being preached. And I've got to lay it out for them also. Verse 19, let me tell you what the problem is. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath revealed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Number one, verse 19. The things of God, righteousness, morality, good and evil, is manifest in them. That is not the Holy Spirit. That's the conscience. Every man and woman has a conscience. Turn with me to Romans 2, verse 14. You naturally have a conscience. Romans 2:14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the Mosaic law, do naturally, do by nature, the good things contained in the law, they having not the Mosaic law, have an inward conscience law unto themselves. And the work of the law is written in their hearts, the moral law, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts either accusing or excusing one another. These tribes that are way off and nobody ever knows where they are, they have an inward moral conscience. So God will judge them on the actions of their conscience. Also, they have the ability in verse 20 to see the things of creation and realize there's a Creator God. And as long as they worship a Creator God and do the correct moral things in some kind of standard of judgment by which God Himself imposes, that I don't know, but that is the truth. So what has happened? The inward truth of the conscience, the inward knowledge of what is right and wrong, says this, verse 25. They change the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, even the natural use of the woman was changed, and the natural use of the man was changed. So that which is natural, because of their wicked desire, self-will, and carnal appetites, it now overrides their conscience. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we are living in a society and in a culture. You wonder how someone walks into a school and kills innocent children that he doesn't even know, and innocent teachers that he doesn't even know. I'm sorry, it's 1 Timothy. And it's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing, lying spirits, doctrines of the devils, and they speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. People say, Ginger, you know, that guy walked in there and shot all those children. He must not have a conscience. Right. We have degraded to a place where people's consciences are seared and ineffective. There's no value to life. I saw a man in New York City last week, for no reason at all, knock down about a 70-year-old woman, start kicking her, and then walk off. Here they speak lies. In Romans chapter 1, it says they teach lies. Go back. I'm closing out. Go back to Romans. Romans 1, verse 21c says this. This culture became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into images, creeping birds, etc. Wherefore God gave them to the uncleanness of their lusts, and they changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. It's a threefold attack there. Number one, they want to worship their own pagan self idols. That's pleasures and lust and all of these things. Number two, there is a worship of creature, creeping things. There's a worship of the environment. The Green New Deal, that's their new religion. COVID, that was their new religion. Fauci, that was the Pope. People worship these things. They hang on every word. And then finally, what was the third worship? Caesar worship. Caesar was seen by the Romans as divinity. So you worship the government. And so it says we've got to come full circle. We've got to worship our own lust, our own self-will. We've got to worship all these do-gooder causes. Worship the environment. And I want you to understand, I am an environmentalist. I have hunted and fished all my life. I have respected the environment, respected the wildlife, respected livestock, crops, our rivers, our oceans. I don't want you to not understand that. But it is not my God. My God is the Creator. And then thirdly, Caesar worship. The government is now going to provide your needs. The government will protect you. The government will be the authority. No, my authority is God. My provider is God. And there has been given to me by my Creator certain inalienable rights by which I can pursue happiness. I can pursue freedom. I can pursue life as God has given it unto me. Your children being taught the Constitution, Bill of Rights. You want to know why they're not? Because they don't want them to know what their rights are. My dad, as I clean out his house on his dresser, and I've not changed it in 3 years, sat the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. He was born in 1933. The First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Tenth Amendment, states' rights. We don't know any of this, brother. They want to erode three areas: faith in God, the family unit, and patriotism. We're under attack. We've been under attack. Why haven't you preached this before? Because God's not turned me loose till now. And now He has. I've been trying to preach to the individual, to the person, but God changed course. Says it's time to speak. But notice what it says in verse 25. They have changed the truth of God into a lie. That actually means they have substituted the teaching of the truth by the teaching of lies. That's the implication there. They have substituted the teaching of the truth into teaching lies. In every area, cultural, social, religion, education. And let me show you one more verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is what has happened in our society. I'll give you the answers in the weeks to come. But for right now, you know what is truth and you need to stand for it. Anytime God opens the door for you to stand for it. I can remember when I went to college and they had the big things on the walls and you had to choose your courses. We always choose by who was the easiest professor. Someone would tell us who was easier and that's the one we want. God knows how you're going to choose them now. I used to support the College of Charleston. 15 years ago, I stopped when they sent me their first little thing on the new thing that was on campus. They even call me now, and I get to keep telling them why I don't support them anymore. Not going to support you. Don't believe it. Then I go on to tell them that they're state supported, and I don't even think the taxpayers ought to be supporting them, but I don't live in South Carolina anymore. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is what it is, verse 7. You want to know the culture? Here it is. They are ever learning, they are ever teaching, and they are never able to come to the knowledge of that antagonistic word, the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In 1980, the Department of Education was formed in America. Do you realize I graduated high school in 1978? People wonder why I had such a great education. The federalized centralization of the education system was totally part of this plan. I was discussing STEM with a relative not long ago. She teaches in the public school system in China. Science, technology, engineering, math. And I said, what about history? What about English? What about free thinking? You know, I used to write papers. I used to make points. I learned how to think. I learned how to interview. I learned how to express myself. She goes, Leo, those things are totally, totally de-emphasized. I said, why do you think they're de-emphasized? She said, because of the standards. We've got to teach those standards. Our jobs, our schools, it depends on the standards. The NEA sets the standards. Let me show you one verse and we close. John chapter 8. Don't miss the next messages. John John chapter 8, verse 31 says this, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Why does truth have to be removed? Because freedom has to be removed. Why was the Word of God removed? I don't know. Raise your hand. If you went through elementary school and your teacher did a devotion. My teachers did devotions. South Carolina, was that the only place? Biddeford, that's Tennessee. Tennessee, Alabama. Our teachers did devotions. Heather? Florida? We started a day in a devotion. I'm not going to get in trouble. Locally. I just think you need fighters on your school board. I also think you need legal representation for your school board that doesn't have their tail tucked between their legs 24 hours a day. Legal representation. If we have a teacher that wants to do a devotion, oh no, we might get a lawsuit. I don't want to hear that crap. I want to read it to you again and I'll close. Understand the progression now. Look at what it says. If you continue in my word, you're my disciple. If you continue in my word, you know the truth. My word is the truth. And the truth makes you free to seek and live the life that I have for you under the indwelling and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 36. Look at 32. If you know the truth shall make you free. Verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. They take away the Word. They take away Jesus. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to pray for America, to pray as parents and grandparents for God's wisdom, to help your children. Matt Walsh was asked on the Dr. Phil show, this transgender person and this other person said, "Why do you care so much?" He said, "I care so much because 4-year-olds are being put on hormones, 12-year-olds are being mutilated by their bodies, and women's sports are being destroyed. We all need to care about these things." With heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask Brother Jared Boggs if he would close us out with a word of prayer.